holding here, Benogeya, the Gra. The Gra said that the second chalik of Mishle is Musar, and he's trying to define Musar, and he associates the word Musar with Yisurim. Now, Yisurim brings me right away to the Ramban in the Shar HaGmul, because he was the first one to speak about Yisurim in a very organized fashion, and he has his derech in uptaichin Yisurim, suffering in general. And just to give you the background for what he's about to say, he argues that the Gemara in Brachas, Daf Hei, Amid Aleph, Hei Amid Beis, which speaks about Yisurim, defines two kinds of Yisurim. There's regular Yisurim and what are called Yisurim Shel Ahava, Yisurim out of love, obviously meaning the love that Hashem has for the person who's being inflicted with these Yisurim. So he needs to find out what are Yisurim plain, that are not Shel Ahava, and what are Yisurim Shel Ahava. From there he goes to a Gemara in Erchin. The Gemara in Erchin, everybody knows. The Gemara says, what is the limit of Yisurim? If a person puts his hand in his pocket, and he's supposed to take out a quarter, and instead he takes out a nickel, but he has the quarter in his pocket. So what's the only thing that's missing? He should put his hand once again in his pocket and fish out the quarter. Mamish narishkeiten. So the Gemara says that's tachlis shel Yisurim, meaning the lowest limit of Yisurim. See, the word tachlis sometimes means the highest, but here it means the lowest. What's the least thing that could still be called Yisurim? But the Ramban here comes with a very, very important explanation of that Gemara, and because of that explanation of that Gemara, which is not everyone's explanation, in fact it's not Rabbi Moshe Feinstein's explanation, I mean the Ramban, it means there are other shitas, and I'll show you that this is also the shita of a Talmud of the Rajba, like Rabbi Moshe, Rav Soloveitchik, a number of others that I've heard myself speak about this inyan. They didn't learn it like the Ramban did, they learned it like the Talmud of the Rajba. In other words, it's a machloikas rishonim how to interpret that Gemara. But that's very, very important. And the final thing the Ramban speaks about in this section, on Yisurim in the Shar HaGmul, in his Sefer Torah Sa'adam, is the final thing he speaks about is, what is the inyan of Nisayon? Elohim Nisa Es Avraham. And does that have to do with Yisurim, or is that something else? That's the question. So let's begin. I'm not going to read it through with you. I'm going to give you the critical lines of the Ramban for our purposes. So he says like this. So the first thing we already learned last Monday, and we were Yom Sheni B'Shabbos, and we are just going to summarize it very quickly. The Gemara there says that if a person sees that Yisurim are coming upon him, he has to examine his ways. And Pishbeish Matzah, if he finds reasons why the Yisurim are, so fine. Pishbeish V'loy Matzah, what happens? Because if he finds the reasons, then he does tshuva for those things that he found. And L'cha'ira, then the Yisurim should go away. Pishbeish V'loy Matzah, what happens if he examined himself thoroughly and he couldn't find any explanation for these Yisurim? The person must be in a very high madrega of that. So he says, Yitlenu B'Bitul Torah. The Gemara says he should first look to see, maybe it's Bitul Torah. Everyone asks the question, Bitul Torah is a big Aveira. So what do you mean he didn't find? He found Bitul Torah. So what does it mean he should be, if he didn't find, he should be Tolan Bitul Torah? That's a tremendous question. Some say, if he couldn't find anything, it's a simon he never learned. Because if he learned, he would have known there's all kinds of Averis that he did. So Yitlenu, he should be Tolan, the fact that he couldn't find Bitul Torah. But I would consider that a vertel. I'm not sure that that's the Pashup Shat. It's certainly not the Shat of the Ramban. Then the Gemara continues. Yeah. Just a minute. You're asking an excellent question. He's asking, what about the natural things that happen to people?
Aging.
The Ramban at the end, when he gets to the Gemara in Erechin, discusses that very point. But we're talking about things that are you might say, unexpected, a little extraordinary, okay? Red lights. Red lights, you know, things that, you know, you could see that something's happening. But it's a very good question. There is Yisurim sort of built in into the human condition. That's correct. Now, the Ramban says, the Gemara says, if he didn't find even Bitul Torah, then what? So he says, if he didn't find Bitul Torah, he knows for sure that these Yisurim are Yisurim Shel Ahava. Most people learn that Yisurim Shel Ahava means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves you, and because of that, he's making you suffer. That sounds to be very strange. Is HaKadosh Baruch Hu sadistic? So I told you that just like the question of brinksmanship by Yetzias Mitzrayim, does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want that people whom he loves and cherishes, and he wants to save, and he says, you are my people, as Hashem Elokecha Amircha Hayoyim, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us, chose us with the Am Sgula, Mamlechas Koyanim, Goy Kodosh, Ahafti Eschem Omar Hashem, and so he wants to make us miserable from the very outset. So Nishgenug, that we suffered so much from the Egyptians and from Paray and all of the torments that we describe, the Seder and everything, by Yareo Esano Amitzim, by Yanunu, by Itno Leino Avoyda Kosha, B'chaimul Velim, Amaleinu Zehabonim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees all of this pain, and he takes us out of Mitzrayim, and he saves us. And this is what he does. He brings us to the edge of the Amsuf and scares us out of our wits to the point where he tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Mat Titzake Lai. Moshe Rabbeinu is pleading with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mat Titzake Lai, what are you pleading with me? Go! What do you mean go? Why doesn't he open up the path? Beautiful, open, clear, get rid of the Mitzrim, convince the Mitzrim it's not Kedai to chase after them. I mean, there's a thousand things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do. There's nothing that could limit him. Why does he do this? The Teretz is because that's the only way that he could set Klal Yisrael free. There are certain times that you have to do certain things that are rough. Speak sometimes about tough love. So, you know, whatever the gedarim of that are, but if you give your child candy every time and give him a little hug and a kiss every time he does something wrong, lav dafka that he's going to turn out all right. There has to be a certain amount of criticism, a certain amount of musar, and indeed, in the right way, even a patch. Hagamta today, that's not politically correct. And they can maybe put you in jail even. But lamaisa, a patch, the right time, in the right way, without kas, goes a very long way. In Europe, the Bali Musa used to have a strap that they used only for criticism. A little bitch. And they hung it up. And after giving the kid a patch with the bitch, never really hurt terribly, but it was a reminder, as teknisht, sinishgut. They would ask the child to kiss the bitch. Yeah. And in litter, that's how they did it. And then they would hang it back up. And believe me, these children grew up tall and straight. Tall and straight. Aval lemaisa, this is Yisurim. These are not Yisurim in the sense that you want to inflict pain and suffering. No parent wants to inflict pain and suffering unless it's nebach nishnamal. But what is it? You feel that you have to correct them. So, in the case of the Ribbono Shelom by Yetzias Mitzrayim, he needed to set them free. And the only way he could set them free was by making them independent and thinking on their own and acting on their own and solving their own problems. And you need to have a matzav where you have to jump into the water. That's what Hashem is saying. Don't daven. It's always appropriate to daven. And what time is it better to daven than when you're in an Eis Tzara? But at that particular moment, davening means Hashem will save you. They have to begin by saving themselves. And because they were set free, is a meridika daher. I saw in the pasuk an unbelievable thing. At the beginning, the Egyptians said, "Mazoi sasinu kishilachnos Yisrael me'avdenu." What does that mean? What's their intention? What did we do? We sent them away from serving us. So obviously, what does that mean? They want to chase after them, bring them back, and they should serve them again. I mean, that's what the import of the pasuk is it not? Mazoi sasinu. They don't say mazoi sasinu kishilachnos Yisrael me'avdenu. So it means they want to get them back. We suddenly lost our whole enterprise, our whole industry. Now when it comes to the Kriyas Yamsuf, the Pasuk in Oz Yosher that we say every single day is Mayid, that they intended to destroy every last Jew. Omar Oyev, Erdoif, Asig, Achalek Sholol, Timlaimo Nafshi, Orik Harbi, Toyrishema Yodi. What is Orik Harbi? I take my sword out of its sheath, out of its scabbard, and I will cut them down. So what does cut them down mean? Meyavdeinu? Cut them down means on the spot, I will kill them all. What's the pshat? The teretz is, a slave that runs away, you can take back. A slave that became free, you can't take back. When they saw from up on high, when they were chasing down, that Nachshon ben Aminodav and Klal Yisrael follows, and they go into the water, they know that these people will never ever be slaves. They'll die before they work again. Eibazei, plan number two. And plan B, Mekanze Nisht Klemen Tzurik. Because what does a guy think besides that?
There's only two Yidden who went into the water.
Doesn't matter. As long as they saw that Mahalach already, and everybody followed, and who says that they saw exactly Genoi what's happening?
Well, as far as the character of the Klal Yisrael.
Oh, as far as Klal Yisrael, let me tell you.
Independent people, only two.
Doesn't matter. Amizet, Amahot, Anachshon, Ben Aminodov, that's already enough. That's my havana in the whole thing anyhow. In the case of the Ramban, his idea of Yisurim Shel Ava is not that mahalach. Nor is it the Brisker Rav's mahalach that I told you. That to make a person independent of Hashem is a disaster. And it's very, very detrimental to the person. To keep a person close to Hashem, you have to increase his midas habitochon. And that's how he gets closer and closer to Hashem. He davens more and more. He needs HaKadosh Baruch Hu more and more. But why should you need HaKadosh Baruch Hu if you have everything? So the reward of bitochon is more bitochon. But more bitochon means more need for Hashem. But when do you need Hashem? Them is Afgahak the Tzaris. So it comes out according to this an amazing thing. That really, the whole idea of Kabbal Hashem Chazak V'yamitz Libecho, what does he need to strengthen his heart for? He's doing okay. It's because he needs to steel himself against adversity. What's the pshat? That the adversity is coming at him even stronger. So it's amazing reward. HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewards a person by punishing him. Now the teretz is that the ultimate benefit. It's an amazing concept that the Brisker Rav is saying. The ultimate benefit is to be as close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as you can get. And if you want to know the truth, all those people that made a lot of money and were extremely successful and are healthy and are doing just fine, their connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with rare exception, is tenuous at best. And the bottom line is that you see that the whole Mishpacha begins to veer away from Hashem, and before you know it, the children are also lost. It's Nishpashat. It's a Gonish Pashat. The teretz is a person can suffer and be happy also. You know the famous, it's an avoida, it's a tremendous avoida. But when a person feels that he's kashus with the Eibishter, it is ein, and person learns. What is the derech of learning Torah? Pas ba melech toicha, mayim ba mesura tishte. So you know they say once, somebody once came over to Meir Shapiro, the founder of Yeshiva, of course the Daf Yomi, but Meir Shapiro, the founder of Yeshiva's Chacham in Lublin, right? So he built this gorgeous yeshiva with linen service. You know, he had maid service. They had women doing the laundry for the bacharim. Yes. So somebody comes over to him and he says to him, "Kachi darka shel Torah, pas ba melech toicha." It says, "What kind of business did you do?" So he says, "That's how you read it." So the fellow asks Reb Meir Shapiro, "How did you read it?" He said, "I read it as a question, as a puzzle, as an amazement. Kachi darka shel Torah, pas ba melech toicha." Give them everything. But the truth of the matter is, you know, sometimes when you have to talk to a Baal Bas, you know, Rabbi Aaron Kotler, Zichrono Livracha, in the early, early days, so they found this lawyer who had some money, and he showed an interest in supporting the yeshiva. So he and Reb Nosson Vachtfogel went, and they started talking to him, but he didn't like the idea that a person sitting and learning and doing nothing a whole day. The whole kolo concept. Learning, yes, but sagotten to light. You know how it goes. So he says to Rav Aaron and to Rav Nosson, Zichoinam Levoch Lechayolam Abba, he says to them, "You mean to tell me that this person is going to be sitting and learning all day for years?" So Rav Nosson sees he's losing the big fish. You know, he's slipping out of his fingers. So he says, "Years? Something like that." So Rav Aaron says, "Vos? Fintya, senya, fufsenya." You know, so, but pas ba melech toicha means pas ba melech toicha. That's what it means. It means not that the Shrev should buy you a fancy car and a big house, and that's not the Derech of Torah. So why not? Why can't everybody be Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi? And you see an amazing thing, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi himself was not nana from Olam Hazeh ki huzeh afilu etzbek tana. So what's the pshat? The pshat is we have what's it, Rav Soloveitchik Amol Gezocht? He, I don't know, I never saw this word in the dictionary. I think sometimes maybe that he made it up. But in any case, he knew the whole dictionary by heart because he sat down one day when he got to America, opened up that fat Webster's and just read page after page. And that's it, he memorized the dictionary. And he had this massive vocabulary. Amfals, what does he say? He says, Judaism, in one of his lectures, Judaism is not eudaimonic. What's eudaimonic? You is good, verstehe you. And daimonic is feelings, like demon. It's really demon. It's, the Yiddishkeit was not meant to, for a person to feel good. It's an remarkable idea. You know, we have this idea that you always have to be good and happy and freilich in a very superficial way. Happiness, the whole of Yiddishkeit is happiness. But it's a different concept of happiness altogether. You know that happiness associated with the idea of nachas, the idea of profundity, the idea that you accomplished in life, is ananda zachen ganzen. You do a mitzvah and you mekusha to the Eibishter, that is happiness. Happiness is it really, and the idea that I'm coasting in life because everything is going easily for me and smoothly, this has nothing to do with happiness. And most of the time, after the first point, you get jaded and you're looking for more. You know when it's real happiness and when it's not real happiness. If you're constantly in need, like an addict, for the next level of fix, you know that it's not the Torah's way. That's a different kind of happiness. And that's why when Chazal say, Mishi Yesh Lo Yimoneh Rotze Masayim, which by the way the Vilna Gaon interprets, he doesn't want another 100. He wants 200 besides the 100. And not only do you want more, but you want incrementally more. That is not Yiddishkeit. That's not the Torah way, but it's also not Hashem's relationship with us. And any time that you need that extra, that you're desperate for more, you have in Gashmius, you have to know that that's not the Eibishter. The Eibishter is Pumfakert. Histapkus Bemuat is the Eibishter. Ezu Osha Samech Bechelko isn't just a Mida, it's not just a Madrega in the Chashivus of the person. It's part and parcel of the essence of Avodas Hashem. That's why when you come to these kind of Yisurim that we're talking about, according to the Brisker Rav, it's similar to the Yetzias Mitzrayim idea. Hashem does things that on the surface appear to us to be almost cruel. But in that very feeling that we have, we latch on to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know that the Brisker Rav also said, in the piyut of Reb Shlomo Ibn Gaviro, he has a phrase, Mimcha El Echa Hashem. He says, when I run from you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I run away. I can't take it anymore. I run away from you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says Reb Shlomo Ibn Gaviro, the great Titan and philosopher. Where do I run? If I run away, Mimcha, Eilecha Hashem. I run to you. There's no other place to run. So, Kabel Hashem, Chazak V'yametz Libecha B'Kabel Hashem. But the Ramban interpreted the Yisurim Shel Ava, not that that's the love of Hashem, that He gives you these things to make you closer to Him, but he interpreted all Yisurim have a Tachlis. And the Tachlis is along the same plane, if you will, except for the Gemara in Erechin and Nisyonis. So he has really three major categories. One category is the Yisurim category. Then there's the Gemara in Erechin, what we call Tachlis Shel Yisurim, that he puts in another box completely, as I'll tell you in a moment. And finally he has what he calls Nisyonis, Elikim Nisas Avram, which he puts in a third category altogether. The third category is the easiest category. The Ramban says that Nisyonis, this is very famous, very well known, but it's the Ramban that said it. Nisyonis are not given to a person unless he's on a madrega to be oimed b'nisayon. And the purpose of that nisayon is not to make life miserable for him, not to cause him suffering, it's not for any other reason, but that we want that person to become the nes, the Kiddush Hashem, the flag, the banner of the Madrega that he reaches through the Nisayon, And I might add, because between the lines you see it in the Ramban too, maybe, that it also elevates the person and makes him a different level Eved Hashem. Without the Nisayon, he would not be, no matter how big he is. So those Nisyonos are always things that a person can overcome, and the challenge is to rise to the occasion. There are hundreds of things that we are confronted with in life that serve as such challenges. And there are many, many different kinds of challenges which we don't know always is, are they Yisurim or are they Nisyonos? But a person who learns how to respond properly to these Nisyonos always discovers that his tomorrow is a better Jew than yesterday. Ananda Madrega. Ananda Madrega Tefillah, Ananda Madrega Learning, Ananda Madrega Mitzvahs, Ananda Madrega Kibbutz. You know, Kibbutz could be a tremendous Nisayon. There's nobody that would deny that. Everybody's masking that Kibbutz could be the biggest Nisayon in the world. A person has a father or a mother, already aged, elderly, they get cranky, they get upset, they get angry. You're doing the best for them, and they could knock you down in the middle of it and say something to you that makes you feel like a piece of dirt. And that's a tremendous Nisayon. The Nisayon is not only how you respond, which in itself is a tremendous Nisayon, do you live up, but when the Gemara told us that he was doing this and this and this, and he was very proud of himself, and they told him in the Beis Medrash, you didn't even reach the beginning of Kibbutz Avayim, this is what it is. When a person comes in, and you're sitting with old Gedolei Raimi, and your mother comes and she says something crazy, and she spits in your face, you know what the next step is? You turn to all... Nobody who's an Elich Hayid is going to push his mother away. But you know what you do? You turn to the people to the right of you, to the left of you, and you say, what can I do? She's senile. Even if it's true, what can I do? She's crazy. The covet of a parent is such that you have to schweig, and you have to accept it, and you can't explain it or justify it by making a negative comment about a parent. Kibbutz Av is ad kedei kach that you can't even agree with them, because who are you to agree? So the Gemara says not only are you not allowed to contradict them, and there's all kinds of subtleties how you should respond to them if they do something wrong, but you're not even allowed to agree with them in a normal way. You're right. What do you mean you're right? You're not in a madrega to say that a parent is right. That kind of avodah is an unbelievable nisayon. The Gemara talks about taking an anarchy and throwing it into the water. You know, you threw away my whole Yerusha. It doesn't have to be an anarchy. A person could have given it to a yeshiva. The nisayonis are noira v'ayim. And that kind of nisayon is a nisayon. It's not yisurim. It's not. Because a person can live up to the challenge, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu presents him with this challenge because he can live up to it. And then, of course, there are madregas like Avraham Avinu, where you have to reach a certain madrega, and then Bolikim Nisayas Avraham. That's why all the Mefarshim say that the 10 Nisyonos, one was more of a challenge than the next. Because each time he reached that level, he was able then to reach the next level after it. So that's the last thing. Let me just show you where he says it here. At the beginning of the paragraph, v'im tishal, correct? You have it. V'im tishal v'toymar v'aloi mefurish b'atoyra sheyesh nisurim shal nisayon kagon v'lekim nisas avram v'chein leman anoyschol and asoyschol adasas asher b'vavcha hasishmar mitzvayse v'imloi. So why don't I mention those yisurim as part of the yisurim? As part of my explanation of Yisurim, Tshuva l'sheilazu kein adover, v'kach yamido, sh'akadosh baruch hu menase v'loy kol odom, elo menase hu es chasidov, sh'nema Hashem tzadik yivchon, kach dorshu v'breishis rabo, hayoytzer hazer, kishu boidek es kivshoinoi. When he wants to check the effectiveness of his oven, when he is a potter, and he has a kiln, and he wants to bake his kalim in the kiln, and he wants to see how effective it is. Einoi boidek, He doesn't test it by producing these cheap jars that if you knock on it once, it falls apart, because that doesn't prove anything. It's the material that's no good, not the oven. If he knocks them, Einom nishbarim. Kach HaKadosh Baruch Hu einom menasetz harishoyim she'ein yukolim lamoid v'smihu menasetz ha-tzadikim she'nem Hashem tzadikim yivchom uksiv alikim nises Avram. Says the Ramban, umahu ha-nisayon hazeh. What is this nisayon all about? She'yovo olov ba'avodoso shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu u'basiyas mitzvosov torach va'omel. A person finds a stumbling block. He finds a barrier. There's something that finds it difficult. It's heavy. It's demanding. And it's excruciatingly sometimes demanding to do a certain mitzvah, a certain chesed, a certain inyan. Like I said about Kibbutz Av. And he says that lefishi yesh bnei adam shoysin mitzvah samasin tovim kishayodam maseges ukishayim b'shalvo berevach. There are plenty of people that do mitzvahs when everything is going well and they have plenty and they are very ample and established. Avol mitoich hadoichak oikisha avoy de boalim b'torch va'amul gadol ainan oisin. It's too hard. Pashatiti es kutanti, says the pasuk in Shir Hashirim, eichocha el boshena. Rachatzti es ragla, eichocha atanfeim. I already chushuk shenoiz getan. There was somebody called me up with a shayla. He says, bidiyevit shebidiyevit, are you allowed to daven in your underwear? That's what he asked me. So I said, you mean because of the dinim of chatzitza that libay roya sa'erva? So he says, yeah. For, in his mind, it's mashma that if there's such a halacha that as long as libay is not roya sa'erva, you're allowed to daven. So that means b'di'evit, you can daven the underwear, assuming the elastic, you know, etc., etc. Which we paskin like that. So I said to him, there's two kinds of b'di'evit. There's a b'di'evit that you're asking halacha v'chatzitza. And then there's a b'di'evit, Are you a mensch or are you a behemoth? So if you're asking me the b'di'evit of Hilchus Chatzitza, the answer is you're right. If you're asking me, is that a b'di'evit in Tefillah? The answer is absolutely not. Because a behemoth that davens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Adam a behemoth that Shia Hashem. The behemoth that davens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking for. So he said, I'll tell you why I'm asking. I forgot to daven Ma'ariv one evening, and I went to sleep. He doesn't wear pajamas. All right, listen, that's not my business. Not machoyif to wear pajamas. I don't think any. Ashtet nishkenoit. He says he wants to sleep in his underwear. Kol hakavod. So he put. So he. But as a tzaddik ayid, he's a tzaddik. You know how I know he's a tzaddik? Because he had a cholim in the middle of the night that he didn't daven ma'ariv. It means no. I'll tell you what it means. It means his conscience of them gekimet, and he woke up like somebody has indigestion. Right? He wakes up in the middle of the night from indigestion too. So he woke up in the middle of the night, and he chapped that he whatever happened, it happened. He went to a chasen, and normally always davens. He told me a whole asik. Normally always davens at 9 o'clock in this base medrash. He went to a chasen. He thought he'd chapped the ma'ariv. He came too late. It was after the thing was the chuppah. This before you know it, he and then he was dancing and singing, and then he came home exhausted, went to sleep. I guess it's a daven the ma'ariv. You should know. I want to stop or pause for 1 second to tell you another story. The Rabbi Yechiel Yankov Weinberg, the Sri Dayesh. Unbelievable. Hey, look at his fur. He was a Talmud in Slabodka, a Meiridika Talmud in Slabodka. He learned by Smoda Tzuma one day. He forgot that it was day, he forgot it was night. He learned. He forgot this man of the Tefillah of the Tzibur. He passed right by it, and it's suddenly 9 o'clock at night, and he forgot to daven Mincha. He missed the Mincha. So he comes to the Alt of Slabodka, and he tells him that he missed the Mincha. What should he do? And what should he do? Should he daven tashlumim? He's not asking him the halacha. What should he do? He said, like, how does he evaluate this? Ich sitz und lernt der ganzen Tag and I forgot a mincha. It was a Musa yeshiva Slabodka. The Alta Slabodka. So Alta says, I don't want to tell you anything, but Rav Naftali Amsterdam is coming to the yeshiva tomorrow. Ask him. Yeah. So Rav Naftali Amsterdam was one of the Gedolei Musa, Talmid of Rav Yisrael. So he comes the next day, and he has a chance to ask him. He goes over to him and says to him, I was learning Basmada Atzuma, and I forgot to daven Mincha, and I missed Mincha completely. Rav Naftali Amsterdam fainted on the spot. Azeida Zeltman de Meisa. So it says, Fafelta Davnen. That's what the Alt of Slabodka wanted him to see. wanted to see what's his main sayid, such a Baal Musa to miss a mincha. It's a complicated thing. You can miss a mincha because you were on the train. That's a different missing mincha. Here's a person sitting and learning. What's the whole point? The point of the whole Torah is Eitzelaiter and the mention that he should be an Eved Hashem. So what do you mean? You learned and you missed a mincha? That's what he was trying to tell him. But in any case, let's get now back to this Maaseh Shehoya. So he woke up in the middle of the night and he tells me, he says, you don't know how much I wanted to daven, but at the same time, you don't know how hard it was for me to contemplate getting dressed again. The Pelet de Gezach. Human nature is so peculiar, I cannot even begin to tell you. Of course, none of you know anything about it, but trust me, human nature is peculiar. And the peculiarities are that you can say your whole day that the inyan of davening is lifnei Hashem, lifnei Hashem, lifnei Hashem, and you can shoulder that we have that course, and you could look at 20 svarim. And when it comes to push, comes to shove, and that person is exhausted, he's tired, he's this, he's that, and something about inside of me just picks itself up and says, it's too hard. What is hard? What are you, in Siberia that it's hard? What's hard? There's nothing hard. You just put on a pair of shirt. Put on your jacket, put on your hat, and daven. And there's something about our nature that we're constantly pushing against the envelope. We're pushing away. And this is one of the examples. So that could be sometimes an nisayon. Nisayon doesn't have to be that I moved to darkest Africa for Parnassah, and I have to figure out how to raise my children and to be Yirei Shamayim. This is what he says. Everybody who is given these challenges, so he says, what is lefikach HaKadosh Baruch Hu matriach al yireyov kitzas nisayon kedei sheyikablu mitzvos v'yasu oisam mitoich haTorah kedei sheyischaron boisam mitzvos kaful u'mechupol. But he adds, uvelomem menasa isoy haloi golu v'yadu lefon of yizbarachim yikablu isoch chazar amenusa avoida v'toirach zeh. He knows what's going to happen. He knows that he'll live up to it. Afo pikein ein schara adam b'koyach emuna sholem kischar b'poyel ma'isa. You have to do it. But he adds a separate point that you can't call it a test because he knows what's going to happen, but in the person that's in the midst of it, for him he has to be oimed b'nisayon. For him, it's called a test. And then later he describes that it adds to the godless of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he says that in the end, that nobody was ever tested who could not be Oymed bin Nisayon. So this is his last point, a category called Nisayon is not punishments, and it's not called Yisurim. Nisayon and Yisurim are two separate things. We sometimes will not be able to discern the difference between the two. We will not. Let's now go back to the category of the Ramban in Yisurim Shel Ahava. What the Ramban says, that Yisurim Shel Ahava, remember, the Gemara says, Ein Bahem Mishum Bitul Torah. So the Ramban tells us how to learn that Gemara. There are three levels in Yisurim. Level number one. The first thing in Yisurim is, on loisaseis, averus that a person did, like eating chazer, is a lav, is a loisasei. Eating chazer, being mechalal Shabbos, anything like that. Lashon hara. So that's a person, yefashbish b'maisov, and he should discover that he did these averus, and that's why he's getting yisurim as a punishment. The next level. He couldn't find any averus. He doesn't talk lashon hara, and he does not, he's not mechalal Shabbos. But maybe he doesn't keep Shabbos the way you're supposed to. Or maybe he doesn't do mitzvahs properly. Maybe he's missing in Kibbut Avayim or something, in any mitzvahs asay. So that's what the Gemara says, Yifash Bish Bebaisov. Loi Motza Yitlenu Bebitl Torah. What's the biggest mitzvahs asay? Learning. So the Ramban learned, as I told you, and he gave you the analogy of the Ritva in the Gemara in Maseches Beya, that just like it says over there, that Mezonos of Shel Adam are Ketzuvim except for two things, Shabbos Yom Tov expenses and Talmud Torah, the Ritva there says, that's just an example. All mitzvahs, whatever you spend on any kind of mitzvah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you back separately. The same thing here. The Ramban took this Gemara, and he said, when it says Yitlenu, you should be Tola, you should say that the Chasaron is in your Bitul Torah, it doesn't mean Bitul Torah alone. It means all mitzvahs I say that you fail to do or do properly. So the Ramban says, the first thing you look for is the Lois Aseis. Because that's where Hashem says no, and you did it. Then if you can't find any Lois Aseis, so Hashem says, look for the Asay. Maybe you were mevatel from Torah, maybe you didn't do other Aseis. What happens if you think you have a clean slate, you did the Aseis, and you did not violate the Lois Aseis? It says, Yadua Shehem Yisurim Shel Ava. What are Yisurim Shel Ava according to the Ramban? Let's take a look. He says, V'lama, the third paragraph, V'lama nikru'u Yisurim Shel Ava, right? Alo Yisurim Shepirashna Yisurim Shel Onshin Hein Al Miut Aveiro Shaasa Kegon Shein Boyin Al Shigigas Maisav Al Helem Dover. He says that these Yisurim that he's talking about, that the Gemara calls Yisurim Shel Ava, are for Shgoga, are for things that he did inadvertently, which almost everybody does. So if he can't find anything that he did against Hashem one way or the other, neither mitzvahs lo yisaseh nor mitzvahs aseh, what is the next step? What should he be looking for? Shgogas. He learns that Yisurim Shel Ava are Yisurim that come to get rid of even the little bit of chesaron that Shgoga causes. In the time of the Beis HaMikdash, he says a little bit later, if a person didn't have Eresh Yesh Boi Kares B'Shgoga, what would he have to bring? A Karban Chatas. And Shgogas in general, we always are Mizvada on, right? Bainas Uberatzayim. And we say Bishgoga also. So Bemezid, Bezadon, Bishgoga. So what is this? So he says Bizman Shabbos Hamikdash. Turn to the line about 2/3 of the way down this paragraph. Ukishein Beis Hamikdash Kayam. You see it? Ukishein Beis Hamikdash Kayam. Mishaleach Aleim Yisurim Lamarik Mehen Oison Shgogos. Uliskape Yisurim Kedeli Yosem Nikiim LaOlam Haba. So Bekitzer, the Ramban goes on record, as they say, that the entire Gemara, including what? The entire Gemara, including Yisurim Shel Ava, are for some level of Averis. But whereas the first level is Lois Aseh that he did Bezadon, the second level is Aseh that he did Bezadon, the third level is where he couldn't find anything that he did Bezadon, but those things which he did Bishoigeg need Yisurim too. He says, why are they called Yisurim Shel Ava? Why are this Dafka called Yisurim Shel Ava? Because Be'etzem, he doesn't really deserve a punishment, because it was only Shoigeg. He didn't mean it. It happened. But since his Cheshbon is no longer perfect, because Vinisht Vishgoga is also not good, the Haraya, you bring Karbanos, Bizman Shabbos HaMikdash Kayam on certain Shogeg. So the Teretz says it is an Aveira of sorts. But it's an Aveira without intent. So an Aveira without intent takes a little bit away from Ischar and Olam Abba. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want that to happen. So he brings Yisurim Shel Ava. What's the Ava? That Behemoth, if he didn't have to bring these Yisurim. But then the Olam Abba wouldn't be perfect. Now for that you need a tremendous Emunah. Because we have Olam Hazeh, we feel Olam Hazeh. And when I bang on the shtender, my hand hurts, I feel Olam Hazeh. And when I walk out in the street and I breathe the air, I feel Olam Hazeh. And when the sun is shining and I look up, and I feel Olam Hazeh. Olam Abba is very hard to feel. It's very hard even to imagine. And it's very easy to kind of like ignore it. So when somebody tells me you'll get tremendous char in Olam Abba, you know, I offer a person two things. I give him a plaque on the wall of the shul, or tremendous char in Olam Abba. Which one does he take? So, you know, right now we'll all say, Abadi's going to take the char in Olam Abba. Never happened. You know why? Because the plaque you see, and everybody else sees. That's the main thing. That everybody else sees the plaque. And Olam Haba, you know, it's like, that's why if a person has that kind of amunah and understanding, the Gemara says that even the schar that's mentioned beforeish in the Nevi'im is nothing compared to the schar that a person gets in Olam Haba, then a person understands what's this meant, that we don't want to limit that. And all the Sfarim write a Moreh D'Gezach. A little bit of Olam Hazeh, if you lose it, you didn't lose much. But a little bit of Olam Haba, if you lose, if a person understood what that was, it's like losing billions. It's like losing billions, like being taken in by Madoff and losing everything you have. So we'll stop here.